In the beginning, before anything existed, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was with God in the beginning.
Through him, all things came into being.
Seen and unseen.
Yes, all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into existence.
In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. That life-giving light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it.
The true light that gives light to everyone was entering into the world of humankind.
He was in the world, and though the world was created through him, the world did not recognize him.
He came to what was his own, but his own did not receive him.
They crucified my Lord. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? And were you there when they laid him in a tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Good Friday service. I want to invite you to stand if you're able, and let's worship the Lord tonight.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. And sin separated The breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight, and you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope.
Let's thank him for the...
So thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Took our place.
You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood.
Jesus told them, "You will all fall away, for for it has been written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Peter replied, even if all turn away from you, I will not. Jesus replied, O Peter, I tell you the truth, this very evening, before the rooster crows twice, you will have denied me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, Lord, even if I have to die with you, I would. I will never disown you. After Peter said this, the other disciples said the same. Later on that evening, they arrested Jesus, and Peter followed from a distance. Standing around the fire, a servant girl noticed Peter in the firelight and said, this man is one of Jesus' followers. Peter quickly replied, woman, I don't even know this man. After a while, someone else said to Peter, aren't you one of them? Peter said, no, man, I am not. An hour later, someone else insisted, this man has to be one of his disciples. He's from Galilee too. But Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. But Peter remembered what Jesus had told him earlier, and so he left weeping bitterly.
Can we just for a moment imagine what it would be like to be Peter sitting around the fire, having just done what we promised we would never do. And you know that look that Jesus gave Peter. I don't know if it was a look of like, I told you so. Or a look of disappointment. Or maybe it was a look of like, I'll see you in 3 days, Peter. But can we gather around that fire together and sing some of these hymns that we all know and love? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's sing it out. And this is all my righteousness. Come on, St. Andrews. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. the precious Lamb of God, Messiah, holy. Let's stand together and sing this. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
One more time. Thank you, oh my Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that you know our pain, you know our suffering.
Oh, the perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, you're walking in the dirt with you and me, and he knows what living is, he's acquainted with our grief. Man of sorrow, Son of suffering, oh, blood and tears, how can it be that there's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds? Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son. We thank you for your sacrifice. Some imagine you are distant and removed, but you chased us down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you were graced, to broken you embraced, and in the end the proof is in your wounds. And in the end, the proof is in your wounds. Oh, blood and tears, how can it be that there's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds? Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son. Suffering, oh, blood and tears, oh, blood and tears. How can it be that there's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds? Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of suffering.
For everything you've done.
Your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood, it's still speaking. Your love, it's still reaching. All praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever. Your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking, your love is still reaching. Your praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever. Your cross, my freedom.
Early that morning, the religious leaders had Jesus tied up and taken to Pontius Pilate. Pilate asked them, "What charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you," they replied. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said so." Pilate said, "But your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders." Pilate replied back, "Ah, so you are a king."
Demons my soul, my life. the cross.
Hello there, wonderful Ross. Oh, there, wonderful Ross. Bids me come and die and find that I may truly.
My soul.
So Pilate took Jesus and had him beaten and flogged. The Roman soldiers wove together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, dressed him up in a purple robe, and kept coming to him saying, "All hail, King of the Jews," and striking him in the face. Pilate asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus remained silent. Pilate said, "Why are you silent? Don't you know I have the power to release you or to crucify you?" Jesus replied, "You have no power over me unless it has been given you from above." Pilate was fearful. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out to the Jews and said, "Here is your king." The crowd yelled back, "Take him away, crucify him." The religious leaders responded by saying, "We have no king but Caesar." Jesus was then handed over to be crucified.
Sing this together. You take our failure, you take our weakness.
You take our failure, you take our weakness. You set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this on, Lord, I'll be your vessel. The world to see your life.
Save a wretch like me.
for our sins on the cross, that you paid it all. We love you, Lord. We owe everything to you. You're our Lord, you're our King, you're our Savior.
Seated. Welcome home to St. Andrew's. This evening, we call it Good Friday. In some circles, it's also called a tenebrae service, which in Latin, the word means darkness or shadows. In our culture, we do entertainment really well, but reflection and contemplation, it's not our strength. We struggle to stop and to reflect and to remember. In this service, we join generations of Christ followers spanning back to the 9th century and even before, and Christians around the world today, right now, to reflect and to remember the sufferings of Christ while we sit together in the shadows and under the shadow of the cross. So, I'd like to pray for us that the Spirit of God, while we're in the shadows, would also illuminate the beautiful work that Christ has done in our hearts. Let's pray. God, shine your light on our hearts, God. Help us to see you the way that you want us to see you. Not a caricature that we've put together like Legos over time, but to see you as you are. Help us to slow down. And help us to remember that none of us have rags that are clean and spotless. We all bring our junk to the altar. Some more, some less. And yet, the way that you looked at Peter, you're inviting us towards you, not away from you. So be with us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 52 Fridays a year, but we don't call them good. We only call this one good. Why? Why do we call Good Friday Good Friday? Have you thought about that? Jesus gets beaten, whipped, tortured, humiliated, and then executed, and we call it good. According to Israel's history, nearly 250,000 Jews were crucified during the reign of the Roman Empire. What makes this particular brutal torture and execution of Yeshua bar Yosef, who we call Jesus, so different than the other 250,000? During the time of Jesus, during the time of his birth, a man by the name of Andronicus claimed to be the Messiah and king over the Jews. In 6 BC, he gathered about 1,000 people or so and followers, and violently revolted against Rome. And after Rome found out, they snuffed him out quickly. He was captured, he was crucified, and with no time, 2,000 of his men and his rebels were gone, done with, put out. 48 years later, another man named Theudas claimed to be the Messiah too. He convinced thousands of Jews to follow him. Rome captured him, took off his head, and then brought it back to Jerusalem as a prize to show what happens if you stand in the way of Rome. Between 66 and 73 AD, Rome crucified nearly 500 Jews a day. So claims to messiahship wasn't exclusive to just Jesus. There were many of them. Yet we gather every year around the world for the past 2,000 years to remember his death, his unique death on the cross. Why is this one any different? Of all the other messiahs who claimed to be Messiah and died and were snuffed out, why is this one so good? Why is it that all the other messiahs, their capture and their crucifixion was a failed attempt at being a messiah? Yet for Jesus, his capture and crucifixion was actually a successful one. And we call it good. You see, just weeks prior, or actually a week prior, the crowds were celebrating, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowd celebrated this young rabbi in his 30s, hoping that he would be the one they had been waiting for, the one prophet they had hoped for generations. So fixated on this caricature of a warlord messiah they had created in their collective consciousness, that there was no room for the real messiah, the one sent by God. But having no room wasn't something new to the Son of God. You remember when he was born, they were looking for a place? There was no room. Yeah, Jesus was used to that. He was, as a vulnerable infant born in a manger, laying there in the midst of the most humane of all creatures in creation, farm animals. But on that Friday, the crowds that hailed Hosanna would now shout, "Crucify him," as they eagerly handed the Son of God to a Roman figurehead named Pontius Pilate to be beaten and brutally executed. You see, Pilate was caught between the pressures of the religious leaders who wanted Jesus dead, but were too spineless to do it themselves. And if the social and the political unrest, well, didn't simmer down, well, Caesar would have no other choice but to remove Pilate from his position as governor of Judea. What to do with the pebble in the shoe of religion and politics? You see, in many ways, Jesus was a nuisance to the establishment. Everything one would go to the temple for, well, they found it in Jesus. Healing? Jesus did it. Forgiveness of sins? Only God can do that. Jesus did it. Sacrifice, all of it, was found in the person of Jesus. Jerusalem wasn't big enough for the two of them. It was either Jesus or the spiritless temple that signified that God had left the building. It's no wonder that John's gospel tells us he came to what was his own, but his own did not receive him. Pontius Pilate wrestled day and night, and he was apprehensive about killing Jesus. He did not want innocent blood on his hands. So he hands Jesus over to another governor named Herod Antipas, who was king and governor, the one who actually put to death Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Yeah, that guy. Herod didn't want to deal with him. Too much drama. So he sends Jesus back to Pontius Pilate like a ping pong ball and signs, P.S. He's your problem, buddy. While the religious leaders kept insisting on their agenda as they used the words of God to kill the Word of God, capital W. They yelled, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. If you free this man, then you are no friend of Caesar, Pilate. Remember that. So Pilate brings Jesus out to an angry mob, the same ones that cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. And he presents Jesus, and he says, here is your king. Filled with false piety, patriotism, Jewish nationalism, and misguided religion, they yell back the haunting words that would have condemned them according to their own law and their own history. You know what they say? They say, we have no king but Caesar. What? The chosen people? The light to the nations? People called by God for the purposes of God? With a one-line response, committed the greatest act of spiritual adultery and blasphemy, trading the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, well, for a momentary political benefit. What a trade. They handed over the true king and Messiah. And Pilate, in fear of losing control, buckles under pressure and releases a prisoner by the name of Barabbas, whose name, oddly enough, means son of God, Bar, Abba. Interesting. They did not know that they were freeing a murderer named Barabbas with the name of son of God. Meanwhile, sending Jesus, the innocent son of God, the real son of God, condemning him to be murdered on a Roman cross. Oh, the irony. A perfected execution method of choice for humiliation, dehumanization, suffering, and killing of slaves and rebels and those that Rome would say, you can't stand against the might of Rome. That's what they used. How else would the Prince of Peace become king? With a sword? With an army? Do you remember he said that if my kingdom was here, then my followers would use the same tactics that you used. But my kingdom is not from or of this world. Didn't he say that? Implying that his kingdom and his rule and his reign was not rooted and formed by the philosophies and the power plays and the power tactics and the methodologies of this world that use violence to attain and to maintain power. No, not Jesus. Not this king. Unlike Pilate and the Caesars of their day and of the world, Jesus would not retaliate in violence. Instead, he would step into solidarity with his subjects, taking on their sin and shame and paying the penalty of death. This is how the King of Heaven would rival the kings of the earth. But why the cross? Why death? After all, crucifixion was one of the most horrific fates any human would experience in the ancient world. It was a disgraced picture that would give children nightmares at night. And if one were to travel outside the walls of Rome, they would see rebels and slaves hanging there, covered with blood and flies, the pecking of crows, and the weeping of family and relatives while they were watching their loved one hang as bait for vultures. How could this God's method of saving the world use that? Sounds pretty foolish, doesn't it? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How long can an innocent person stay innocent and stay peaceful before they frustratedly move from being a victim to being an oppressor? Don't we see that today? Isn't that how the story goes? The same victims of violence use the same tactics of violence to move from being a victim in retaliation, and they become the oppressors. What would you do? What would you do? What would I do? As people who love liberty and our right to be free, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, after all, doesn't that balance the scales of injustice? Isn't that retributive justice? For the perfect Son of God to deal with Satan and the powers of evil, he allowed evil to do its worst to him. 1 John 3:8 says, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil." Because the devil has been sinning from the very beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And for the perfect Son of God to deal with sin, brokenness, and death, and eternal separation from God. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "God made him who had no sin, no sin, to become for us that sin so that in him we might become right with God." How would Jesus' death accomplish victory on the cross? With all his might and heavenly forces, the innocent Son of God refused to use earthly justice, founded on revenge and retaliation. Jesus overcame the power of violence, evil, and death by nonviolently offering his life, his innocent life. He subverts the powers and the grip of Satan, and the Bible tells us that he dethrones it. Colossians 2:15 says, "By doing so, he would have disarmed the powers and authorities, making a public spectacle of them by prevailing over them by the cross." Is this the best you have, Satan? Is this the best you can do? You've done it. If Jesus is the prevailing king, he would need to be lifted high and lifted up. So Rome did just that. They nailed him. And they lifted him high up on a cross between two thieves with a sign that read, "King of the Jews," placing a crown of thorns on his head, pushing it in. And unsuspectedly, they didn't know, but they were coronating him as king.
Savior, say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." And Jesus paid it all to him I owe.
stand together and let's sing.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's eyes and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him.
Let's declare this together.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And sin had left a crimson stain. He it white as snow. Yes, he washed it white as snow. Yeah, he washed it white as snow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised
pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And he bore upon himself the punishment that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, having turned and have gone our own way. And the Lord placed on him all of our sin. And now it was about noon, and the darkness covered the land. The sun has stopped shining. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And saying that, he breathed his last.